Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined this
great
show?
Oh, no, don't put it on yet. I got to stop this great show.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something
for
you. I get rid of this great show.
Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
come on.
Let me
sing
on.
On what's going on with black people, so that when you do meet with all these other ethnic groups, you will have something to put on the table other than sitting there waiting for directions from them. It is so funny because all of these groups have organizations. They have political organizations. They have economic organizations where they're teaching their next group of people to take over office. They have that. Y'all used to have the Young Democrats and the Young Republicans, but you don't have that anymore. Black folks always had folks in the Republican Party like they've always had folks in the Democratic Party. John Johnson was a Republican. Since that was a Republican. Dr. King was a Republican. People have always been in those different parties, but the thing of it is that they have those training. They have the Hispanic Patrolman League where when time to put people on the police force, they're training their young people how to become patrol officers. They have economics. I mean, they do not bring black folks to speak at their conventions. The Arabs don't do it. The Hispanic doesn't do it. The Latino community doesn't do it. The white community doesn't. We're the only ones that have to bring other folks in to give us credibility. And something is wrong with that picture. So when you sit at the table, you don't know. Now, there's been a lot of talk, and I was telling Perry the other day when I called in that VON needs to sponsor an understanding of TIF roundtable. Because black folks really don't understand. Even people who be calling in, and I talked a little bit about it last week, they don't understand what TIFs are. They really don't. And, you know, we go around like we are a poor community. We are not poor. We're really not. In fact, we have more money in our community now than we had back when they built the school, when we had Bethune-Cookman College, when S.B. Fuller did the Fuller, when you had all these different folks, John Johnson, when you had people building Pottywood, when they built colleges, when you had people building businesses, we had less money, but it's just how we used our money. We have more blacks with money since the Civil Rights Movement than we had before, and why? But what it is it's concentrated with a few blacks who really will not come back and help rebuild their community, which then goes to those other communities. Those other communities, even when they're playing ball, what do? If they're from over from another country, Dominican Republic, they send money home and build villages in their communities, build towns. If they're here, they put all of their monies back into their community. They go on businesses. They go on build houses. They do all of those things that we just won't do. You know, if you would take some, I don't care, a Chinese might have a restaurant downtown in all our community, but they got Chinatown. And it's really it's an Asian town. A Mexican might have a taco stand in our community, but they have a business community. Everybody have business community. Arabs have business community. They have an economic community. But we somehow, and see, I think they have squandered all the stuff we gave them. Will not be a John Johnson. Will not be S.B. Fuller. Will not be a Bethune-Cookman. They will not be those things. So we do have the money. So we're not poor. We got money on that side. According to Trump, he said we got more jobs than people looking for. Go look for a job. Get some money. Your penny is better than somebody else's nickel. So go get your penny. and save it and put it together. That's how we survived as family members, how we did little stuff. Now, the other reason I said we're not poor, the black community is very rich because of the TIF. We're rich in TIF. But our money is not being used in our community, and we're acting like we got a bag. $660 million of the TIF money goes into affluent neighborhood. That makes no sense. You got billions of dollars in the TIF, which comes from your community, from your taxes. And your taxes are not being redistributed in your community. I told you last week, you got miscellaneous, and you come down, look at city and town, and you will begin to see how much, if you're in a TIF district, how much money your TIF district have. But you got to look, after you look at miscellaneous, then go on down to city and town, you do that. And then you will see. When $606 million was poured into the tax increment finance district, which is more than 31% of the city budget, which is $2.1 billion plus, that's how much taxes that the government collected. $660 million, which is a third of the budget, is part of the tax increment, which then is not put back into our community. David Orr raised the question, are we spending it wisely? No, it's not. My question would be, are we spending it racially? Are you doing us like you did when we was picking cotton? You know, we work for you, and we don't get paid. You know, is it sharecropping? Are we back to sharecropping? Are we living on your farm or doing some other kind of stuff? David said we have a tale of two cities. Massive wealth in some parts of the city and massive poverty in the other. Well, we are not poor. It's just that the money that's being collected is not going back into our community. Now, last week I was telling you when Munoz said he was going to retire. Munoz said he had built several schools, I don't forget how many, elementary schools in this ward, and one or two high schools. Now, you know, that's over there in 22nd Ward. It's not that big, unless they have expanded. And some of them schools are for, as they want to say, migrant, but undocumented illegal aliens they building schools for. Now, in your schools, you get them closed down, but you also have rats everywhere. And the schools, the food is not good. You don't even have the upgrade of the school so the children can learn and so they can compete. Close 50 schools, close some more. And the thing about it is that everybody blames Rahm Emanuel for everything. I'm not taking anything away from him because he is the mayor and the buck stopped at his desk. But elected officials of those wards have to sign off on that money to leave those communities. So when David Orr says that a third of this money comes from TIF, of the budget is TIF, and we have poverty, the question is why? He said unfair. David Orr said long questions whether TIF sometimes is unfair allocation of tax revenue. Yeah, it is, but it's not coming back to us. Now, in the TIF, if you read the article, you understand TIF, because he kind of have to oversee the TIF too. He oversee the TIF along with the state. Now, TIF district, all tax collection results from higher property value during the 23-year period are poured into special funds. The TIFs, most of these TIFs have matured now. And it's a lot of money. All I'm trying to tell y'all is there's a lot of money to be played with. Some other elected officials play with it by giving little stuff to their pet project to these out-of-town folks like this Icky Man that they're doing that's coming from Boston somewhere. But it's not building businesses. It's supposed to be building businesses. We can have schools. We can have all kind of things with our tax dollars, the TIF money. If you use, this is what happened. You take the tracks. Okay, let's take Fuller Park TIF. Let's go over there west of the Dan Ryan. They take the tracks from 43rd down to 40. I'll just go to 47 for example. Over a certain way, and they said, these tracks have poverty. That's how much poverty is in this track. We would like to save this TIF money so that we can rebuild this community. And you have to show the poverty, and you have to show what it is to the state when you're getting those tracks and getting that TIF. Now, I know because I did the first TIF in the black community under Harold Washington and studied it real deeply because that's how Chinatown got built up. Chinatown did not get built up with just their money. Chinatown used TIF. So you say, so these tracks is blighted, and I want this money to stay here so we can build this community. Well, the money get there. What do? You take it and put it somewhere else. You port it. That means you port money from one area to another area to do. And then you turn around and tell black folks they're poor. You tell us that we got to beg for something. We are in a situation, y'all, that we have not been in since Jim Crow. But we fought Jim Crow. We fought being over here doing slavery when Harriet Tubman was freeing folks and taking them to the North Star. We fought economic disparity when we said if they don't work, if we can't work, they don't work. Don't shop where you don't work. We fought the right to be on these boards. We fought the right for our people to be. And if you look at television now, you see our people are slowly moving, and you see more Asian faces. Even when you look at the movies and all the other stuff, you see more other faces. And they're getting you used to it psychologically because we accept everybody. We it's something about us because we're the mother and father, I guess, of the world. But so when we start, we back into that, but we have pain and we don't know how to fight it because nobody's identifying that pain for you. When Dr. King said, we have a right to sit anywhere we want to. And when Ms. Park refused to give her seat in the community rally, we identified that pain, that humiliation of, we endured that humiliation of when you were sitting in your seat and a white man tell you to move, you have to move. That was humiliation. We endured, folks said, well, why you want to be? We endured driving down the highways and the byways of this country. And as we drove down the highways and byways, and we had to use the bathroom, we couldn't stop and pee in the weed, as Bevel would say, with dignity. Because if you got caught in the wrong weeds, you could get lynched. So people had pee buckets in their cars, you know, pee cans and things like that. All you had to find, they had a little book where you could read along the way where we had friendly people and friendly houses you could stop in. Or if you was hungry and you wanted to eat, you could not stop your family and to eat. So you took a shoebox. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Put the pound cake and the chicken in it and so you could eat on along the way. So we fought to endure that, to fight enduring that humiliation. We fought against that. Or we didn't have folks on the television or folks who was this or folks who was that. We fought against that. But we knew what it was, so we fought that humiliation and we fought that pain. Now let me tell you something. We are worse off now than we was then. Why you say that, Dorothy Wright Tillman? Because we could identify our pain and go after it. We sang Lift Every Voice and Sing, Facing the Rising Sun. You know, we sing that through our songs because we understood, as we was teaching, our children. We told our children education is number one. You got to get to be better. You got to be better than white. You got to be three times as good. We taught them the importance of family and to respect your elders and to respect the children. It was unheard of somebody shooting an old man or shooting a woman or a child. There's pain going on. And when you see our brothers and sisters out here shooting and hurting seniors and women and children, you have to look back to slavery when they had our folks in the rain killing up each other. And you got to try to see what's going on here. Or you're sending them to these bad schools. Well, if your child got to reach in his pocket like one little boy at Mollison did and pull a rat turds, a little baby rats out of his pocket, and the teacher tell him to go sit down. Come on, y'all. There's something wrong. So I'm going to get back in it because I got to take a break. But y'all have really got to understand, we are not poor. We have picked the cotton called the taxation without representation, where you're taking all my money. I know how much I got on my taxes for my office and my house. And none of it's being put back to build businesses. And it can build black businesses. The Korean, I know that Chinatown was rebuilt with a TIF program because Harold helped them rebuild it. Being Ali Wiley is one set it to get super, was on in planning who put that together. That's how I studied there. That's how I knew how to do the TIF. Greek Town was built with TIF. Puerto Rican Town was built with TIF. I'm telling y'all. We act like we're poor. We're not poor. We got to know what we're doing here. And they do take our taxes. It is taxation without representation. And we're going to finish that talk when I come back. Talk of Chicago, 69WVON. Dorothy Wright Tillman, Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with me right here at the great city of Chicago, WVON. Look, we're talking economics, we're talking TIF, we're talking education, and we're going to be talking that from now on, y'all. Every show, I'm going to put a little bit in there for y'all to understand. And that's what our little conference is going to be about, economics and education. Now, our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We're back on Blog Talk. Thank you, Jimmy, my son. My son Jimmy, I buy time from him, Jimmy Tillman. But I'm back on Blog Talk, so if you missed something, you can get it. We're on blackplanet.com, Facebook group, Facebook, and whatever else you want. Get your car, and hey, we're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. www.wvon.com. Get your coffee, get your tea. Time got away from me, y'all. Because when I talk about giving the economics to black folks, it excites me when I educate folks about that. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'm going to be gone 1 minute. Come on back and talk to me. Be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Listen to The Bob Shaw Show, The BS Show, Sundays on WVON at 2 p.m. Listen as veteran politician and activist Bob Shaw shares his thoughts on the state of politics in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. It's Bob Shaw, The BS Show, Sundays right after gospel with Pam Morris.
This is Bob Shaw. Listen every Sunday, too, when I'll be telling you like it is. There will be no BS on The BS Show.
The Bob Shaw Show, sponsored by WeCan Incorporated, is produced and co-hosted by Chinta Strasberg, with host Bob Shaw.
This is Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III at Trinity United Church of Christ, located at 400 West 95th Street on the south side of Chicago. We invite you to worship here at Trinity United Church of Christ. We have three worship services, 7:30 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. Or join us on WVON during our broadcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. WVON.
If you're looking for a local sports show that represents us, that stays true to the culture and serves up the real, then it's time to rock with the big. Sundays at 11, we'll give you an authentic look into the Chicago sports scene and bring you closer to your favorite teams and players than you've ever been. So turn off that noise and see what the game's been missing. Listen to the bigs with me, Terrence Tomlin, and me, Eugene McIntosh. Sunday nights at 11 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Listen for the WVON commentators weekdays on the Talk of Chicago. You'll hear thought-provoking perspectives from some of the most intelligent minds in Chicago. Commentators Kimberly Egoin.
Black folks, stay woke.
Amara Inya.
The ace making the case.
Carl West.
This is Speak the Truth, I Write to Differ.
Introducing Abdul Hakim Shabazz.
The best way to be right is to lean right.
Are dedicated to shining a light on the issues that challenge our community. Listen for the commentators weekdays at 9:20 a.m., 5:20 p.m., and 11:55 p.m. Only on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I'm proud. We're back, y'all. We're back. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're back on Blog Talk. So if you missed us, some of the other two I might try to get and put on there. We're on Blog Talk, we back on. In case you missed it, you can go back. We're on www.von.com. And we're getting ready to go to y'all. Like I said, we got to stop acting like we're victims and realize we're being victimized. There's a difference. Then you feel like you are a victim of being victimized by this system, by people all around us who playing like they are friends and using us, by everybody we're being victimized. So I'm going back to the phone right now. Oh, Mike, how you doing, Mike?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I just wanted to tell you you're right in terms of you know, them underinvesting in us. And I mean, cause I had a family business, and we had an accident, unfortunately, that can't control a car runs into it. And instead of them helping me paying taxes for 40 plus years, they'd rather demolition my building rather than do anything to help us. You know, black owned businesses, you're done. If you can't check yourself, you're just finished. So I tried to get chip funds, everything. I know people that do that that would help me get the chip funds.
Yeah.
So what they do, they exclude us out by zoning. You know,
No, they can't exclude you. What happened is black folks need to file, in those communities, need to file a lawsuit. I mean, we need to take, black folks need to take these folks to court and say they're misusing the TIF funds. I think there needs to be a lawsuit. Now, I don't know who's going to do that lawsuit because what they're doing is wrong. What ward you live in?
This was in Alderman Brooks' ward. I went to the Alderman office and,
Wait, hold up a minute. It was in Alderman Brooks. Is there a TIF district in Brooklyn? Will you live, was your business in a TIF district?
The people that knew about this.
No, I'm asking you a question. Were your business in a TIF district?
For what I know, it was, yeah.
Okay.
But it was, but they told me that I was zoned out. It was from 79th Street, maybe to 83rd or whatever.
Well, no. they said 79th, 83rd was not a TIF?
Was forward, I know, to 87 or, you know, between like 87.
Well, by me not knowing the particulars, whether you was in a district or whether your district had funds, that's what I said. We got to have some kind of teaching to these folks because you might, your district might not have had funds. You might have been somewhere else, but he could have ported it or he could have found some other money. See, black folks need to do like these other folks, find every way possible to make sure you get a black business, that you build business, black business, and that you help black business. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, but it's city wants to get paid. If they don't get paid, then they're just going to demolition. I could have presented a construction plan to the judge, to the courts, to show that I know how to do it. No, they have to get paid. They're not going to do anything to help me, no matter how long you've been paying taxes to the community.
I understand your frustration. Black folks, I tell black folks, when a black person is walking my office, they had a black advantage. And that's not being racist. When you walk, when a Chinese walk into a Chinese community, a place, they got the Chinese advantage. When a Latina walk into a Latin, whatever, you got the advantage. You got the advantage until you show me you're wrong. If you're wrong, I'm not going to do nothing wrong with you. But the advantage of helping somebody that's right. See, that's what I mean. There's something wrong here. It's like, it reminds me of Jim Crow. I'm telling you, it reminds me of Jim Crow.
No, I mean, Chicago reminds me of Berlin in the 1930s. You know, when they starve people and they rob you first, you know, before they, you know, eliminate you. You know, that's what Chicago reminds me. It's about extortion. It's about squeezing you, finding you, doing everything possible to get as much money out of you as possible. And when they can't get it out of us because we couldn't afford the city architect, it doesn't matter if I am an architect. I still have to pay them no matter what. So they produce all this red tape. So what happened, they just demolished my building. You know, because
they demolished your building. They did. The city demolished your building.
Yeah, the city demolished it. Right, yeah. Because of something that I couldn't control.
What was that?
You know, and I mean, a car ran into the building.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could have fixed it, but they produced red tape, so you can't fix it.
Did they want the land? Yeah. Did they want your land?
Well, I mean, it's still the land is still there.
No. When the city demolishes you, they put a lien on your land.
No, not that I know of. No, I mean,
if the city demolishes your building, there's a lien on your property. That's how they own property, and then the lien get interest, and before you know it, they foreclose on your lien, and you can't do nothing about it. Then they take it.
No, it wasn't that. It was. I mean, we still have the land.
Okay. We
still own the land.
Okay.
But I was trying to fix my building.
No, but I understand you, but I got to go to. You told me that the city demolished your property, right?
Yes, they did.
And I'm trying to tell you that when the city demolished some of yours, the city put a lien on it. So you better check and see. Okay?
They demolished it because.
I don't want the reason. I got to go. We have to talk about this when we have this little meeting about our temple, but let me tell you something. When the city demolished anything of yours, they put a lien on your property. And then the property get interest. So what they do, they go into court to foreclose on that lien, and you can't afford to pay that lien, then you lose your property. The same way if you have property and you don't keep it clean. If the city go in there and cut your grass and clean your property, each time they go in there and cut it, they put a lien on. They add up how much it was, how much time, what they paid, and they let the lien build up. And then when they get a certain amount, they go to you, and you can't pay it, then they foreclose on the lien. I just want to tell you that. Check and make sure you ain't got no lien, okay?
Well, as far as I know, it wasn't that they
okay.
It was deemed as a hazard, as far as I know.
Okay. But I want you to listen to me. You got to hear me and listen. You can hear, but you got to listen, too. I said when the city demolished your property, they put a lien on it, okay?
Okay.
Check and see.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Mm-hmm. I got to see what Lance is going to tell me. Lance.
Grace and peace be upon you, my sister, from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
yes, invaluable information, but in reference to the builders, the community builders, builders, TCB, they're headquartered in Boston with offices or hubs in Chicago and Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They have over five different regional offices in the Midwest, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic areas.
Wait, now, Midwest?
Yes, Midwest,
Northeast,
Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast.
Now, and all those are in areas and cities and areas that's being gentrified, right?
You spot on, my sister. Spot on.
Uh-huh.
And to be perfectly honest with you, this individual, William Woodley, he's basically a project manager. As a matter of fact, the project that's going on, I think the $38 million that has been allocated for the west side into the Chicagoland area, I believe that he and other blacks in that particular area are going to help to, you know, in some small way, help to put spend that $38 million. But to be perfectly honest with you, I couldn't vote when I was doing a little bit of research in reference to the TCB, the Community Builders Association, because they celebrated their 50th anniversary back in 2014. So they've been around now for about 54 years plus. And this particular organization, a supposedly nonprofit organization, owns 11,000 different units spread out in 14 different states.
Lance, I got to take a break, but I don't want you to go nowhere because I want you to talk about that at the 7 o'clock. I want to go over that more in the 7 o'clock hour. I think I got – how many minutes I got over there? Yeah, I'm going to have to go. Put Lance on hold. I'm going to come back to Lance because that's very important. That's what I mean by us sharing information. These are the folks that's building this stuff down there where the Ickes was from Boston. And they all over, you know, and they bring one or two black folks back. And I told Lance they're located in Boston, their home office, to do some research on them. So he's giving us an update on the research. We're talking about economics and we're talking about education. It's really interesting. Y'all, a friend of mine told me once, Les Humphrey, he owned the black newspapers in the South. He said black folks are demolition experts. When you talk about demolishing, being mean and hollering and screaming and knocking stuff down, they will run you over. But when you take a moment and begin to talk about building, you can't find them. And it's really interesting. Right now, we're talking about education and economics. We're not talking about hating Trump. We're talking about hating this and hating Trump. No, we're talking about economics and education. And we're sitting here, come on, y'all, we can't be demolition experts without being builders. So we're going to talk about the education and the economics of what's going on. And this new Jim Crow, as they say, the jails were, this other stuff is too, and how we being used and abused. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WON. We gonna, the whole world is a stage, y'all, and everybody's playing a part. You know, not the no. Smiling in your face, folks smiling in our face, and trying to take our place while we run there marching and screaming, and we go to the table empty-handed. All of those folks who you're fighting with, they're up there meeting with Trump, and they trying to find out about the training and trying to find out about the prison, trying to find out about everything. Everybody's meeting but us. Everybody's meeting but us. And we're sitting right here letting folks use what we have. And we are right now, we're getting wiped out. They're smiling in our face, but everybody want to take our place. We got to go to the table. We got to be able to discuss the menu. We don't intend to be the menu. Talk of Chicago 69WVON, our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.won.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Blog Talk. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. www.won.com. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'll be back in a few minutes, y'all. Don't go nowhere. They smile in your face, trying to take your place. I'll be right back. Dorothy Wright Tillman. Coffee and a conversation with me right here in the city of Chicago.
Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
Manafort trial continues. I'm Christopher Cruz. It's going to be another tough weekend for firefighters in Northern California. Meteorologist Ivan Cabrera says there's been some progress, but weather conditions aren't helping.
The winds have been erratic. They've been very strong, and so we have started multiple fires all in one area, now encompassing a giant 133,000-plus acres here. We have 39% containment, and that's actually 4% up from this time yesterday.
Extreme fire danger warnings will be up through tonight. The trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort reached its fourth day on Friday, with the prosecution claiming that Manafort manipulated his earnings to avoid the IRS. Correspondent Evan Perez says one accountant testified about her role in helping Manafort lie about his finances.
Cindy LaPorta is one of the accountants, and she described how her firm, people working for her, with her, essentially fudged some of the numbers on behalf of Paul Manafort in order to reduce his taxes. She said, quote, "I very much regret it." It appears the reason why she says that she did this, fudging the numbers on behalf of Paul Manafort, was because Paul Manafort was a very important client to her firm.
A United Nations report accuses Russia of hiring North Korean guest workers. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo this morning spoke to reporters about the report in Singapore.
If these reports prove accurate, and we have every reason to believe that they are, that would be in violation of UN Security Council Resolution 2375. I want to remind every nation that has supported these resolutions that this is a serious issue and something that we will discuss with Moscow.
A far-right group is planning to gather in downtown Portland, Oregon today. Gatherings for the Patriot Prayer Group in the past have turned violent. I'm Christopher Cruz.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates, our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
A federal district judge has blocked the Trump administration from ending the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program.
U.S. District Judge John Bates for the District of Columbia ordered the Trump administration to restart the program that protects young undocumented immigrants from deportation, saying it did not justify its decision to eliminate DACA. The government has been given until August 23rd to appeal the ruling, or the Trump administration will have to restart the program, and that includes accepting new applications for it. I'm Barbara Cusack in Washington.
About 145,000 cartons of almond milk are being recalled because they might contain milk from cows. The refrigerated vanilla almond breeze almond milk cartons were shipped to 28 states and have a use-by date of September 2, 2018. The FDA says the milk is safe to drink unless you're allergic or sensitive to dairy products. I'm Christopher Cruz.
On the streets of Miami, speed is the law. So when a corn dog goes after the wrong girl...
Oh, heartburn!
One man will bring her Tums Ultra Strength.
I'm on my way.
Don't get wrecked by heartburn. Nothing works faster than Tums.
Your mustard's fast, but my Tums are faster.
And with Tums On The Go rolls, it's never been easier to leave heartburn behind.
You did it.
Yeah. You gonna finish that corn dog?
Tums Ultra Strength, available in a store near you.
This is Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, along with
Pastor Horace Smith from the Apostolic Faith Church.
And I'm Jacob Queenscale from Storycatcher Theater.
With the summer festival season in full swing, we want to remind everybody to celebrate responsibly and in peace.
People from every neighborhood of the city and from around the world will be coming downtown to our beautiful lakefront.
Young people are excited to celebrate summer in our city. We want to feel respected and welcome just like everyone else.
Everyone is welcome to every part of our city. We have a tough job when things get crowded, and keeping everyone safe is our number one priority.
We all need to feel safe, and kindness is a part of it.
It all starts with the way we treat each other.
Like, don't see me as a problem just because I'm young or dressed a certain way. As a matter of fact, when we're treated right, we're all more likely to listen.
We hope so, because public safety is everyone's business. If you see something, say something.
And if you see someone, say something kind.
Only you can keep this our kind of town.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. He allowed me to go over, and I've seen the promised land. Might not get there with you, but me and we and the people will get to the promised land. Dr. King wasn't talking about no pie in the sky. Might not be no pie in the sky. It could be alive when you die. He said, with heaven on earth, you have to listen to Dr. King, read his speeches, know who he is, and know what he meant. He just didn't see black folks turn on us. He just knew that if these folks got that money, they would come back and rebuild community. He just knew that if these folks would get education, they'd come back and rebuild school. Dr. King thought that people understood what we were doing. He just was naive enough that he saw everybody rebuilding the community, and he could not believe that black folks would not. We're back, y'all. We're back. He didn't think folks would squander. I think those who reap the educational, the political, and the economic benefits of our struggle, because they can have three cars instead of one, because they can do this and do that and run downtown and eat, I think those people, they have squandered. Those people who got rich now think they did it on their own. Those people have squandered that blood, have squandered what Dr. King gave, and all of the people who struggled and fought and took a stand. Those people who took a stand, who were not afraid to fight and die. Those people who fought for the right for education, for economics, for our right to be. And then you stepped in and you squandered it. You have squandered everything that we've given you. You better look at it. And then come into the community and act like a social worker. I'm going to have a basketball cap. I'm going to have a football cap. Oh, I'm going to bring you some this. I'm going to give you some this. I'm going to pat you on the back. I'm going to treat you like the white folk. I'm going to be a social worker. I'm not going to come in and build a restaurant, build a school, build some housing, build a community. I'm not going to do that. But you should be happy if I show up and you clap and be all over me. Be real happy. You should be happy if I give you a cap, if I do this, if I do that. No, 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 no. You are there because of our struggle, and you need to bring it on home to me. As you ever, they said, bring it on home. Tobacco Road, bring it on home to me. That's what you do at 7 o'clock. Whoever you are in the state, in the city, in the country, in the nation, in the world, sitting down, walking, riding, drinking your coffee, drinking your tea, or whatever you drink, take a deep breath, Titus, and Ebony. Titus is back this week. Take a deep breath. Black, 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 black. Come on, y'all. Take another deep breath. Black, 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 black. For the Trinity, black, black, black. Is it black enough for you?
Here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight.
Get the language right. You got to get the language right, y'all. You got to get it right.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
I'm proud of it. I'm black and I'm beautiful. Get the language right. Don't let anybody take your manhood. When we went through a long monologue at 6 o'clock, y'all. I don't know whether all y'all was awake or not. But we was talking about TIFF, talking about education, talking about just what's going on with us. It's almost like what you got to also understand is that black folks was sitting on top of all of the land. God ain't making no more land unless you fill in the lake. In all of these cities, black folks were sitting on top of all of the land, near all the parks, all of the transportation, everything. And it's just like the land being taken, not just in Chicago, but all over the country, being just taken away. And we're sitting here after the fact, when we talk about how many people Chicago lost, do we realize how many people got displaced in public housing? No other race in the country, no other race in the world would allow that many people to in their community to be displaced. And it just didn't happen in Chicago. It happened all over the country. And that's why I said the post-trauma slavery syndrome is there. How somehow or another we pull back and allow certain things to happen to us. We are not poor. We are not poor. And we're not victims. We're being victimized. And there's a difference. When you realize you're being victimized, you'll fight back. But if you think you're a victim, you say, oh, you know. That's why I said my hat's off for the people who marched the other day. I don't care if it was 50, 100, or 200. When we started at Brown's Chapel, it wasn't that many folks. When we started any movement, it wasn't that many. But they should have went back. But my hat's off to them. They did it. So don't be talking about what. I've heard some folks say some negative stuff. And the folks who was talking negative, I said, well, what have you done? A friend of mine said 1% of something is better than 100% of nothing. So do 1% of something. And at 7 o'clock, I also talked about the TIF. Folks don't understand the TIF and how it is. We're not poor. Our communities are rich with TIFs. Folks outside of the city, outside of the state, might not understand. But when those tax dollars are held back, they're supposed to be built for your communities. They're supposed to be built in your schools, your businesses, your houses. I'm talking about not just somebody outside come building, but let black folks build it. And black folks will build if you give them the resources. I proved that when I was in office, when I put together the African American Home Builders Association. Instead of letting the American home builders build these houses that was building in all the wards. And these black folks came together and helped each other, and they built these houses. They even built the first greenhouse. When they saw them black folks coming there building up all them houses, they got scared. When we said we're going to keep this land, they got scared. When you saw Philadelphia, I met people from Philadelphia, Detroit, Cincinnati. I met folks from Columbus, Milwaukee, and they wanted to duplicate what we was doing. The folks got scared. But it's always been a land question, and we're being tricked. And the funny thing about it, we're being tricked out of our property and out of everything we got. They like using what we got against us. Those your dollars. In Chicago, that money should be used for you. It should be used. They finna build some new schools. This girl Jackson announced her, and the mayor announced they was building these new schools. On the southwest side, West Loop area, West Town area, around that area they building up. And we sitting up here with schools with rats in it. They said most of the schools we got are unclean. With Magic Johnson and all of them got the contract, and they're not doing nothing. Magic Johnson, another one of them folks who want to grin in our face. He ain't said nothing about the rats being in our schools. They don't even have cafeterias where they get real food cooked. And then we got all this money, TIF money, building these schools for other folks. Come on, y'all. Y'all better come on. And you better try to read that article in the paper on the TIF, I told y'all, because David Orr kind of oversee it. He got all the lists if you want to see. He talked about the 25th, last month, this man laid it out. And y'all need to try to pull that stuff. I got to get with somebody and pull it and lay it out with all the districts and how rich they are. We talk about new high schools. And you hear Munoz said that he retired. Yeah, he retired. But when he retired, he talked about the new schools. See, I don't forgot, three or four new schools he built in his ward and the high schools he built. Well, little village is not that big over there. But he built it, and all the businesses that he did, I bet you didn't do no black businesses over there in Little Village. I bet you he didn't. All the stuff he done, we make no mistake about it. I'm not going to take anything. And the buck do stop at his desk. But you can't go straight to him and don't deal with the all. If all of them do not sign off to give up that money from TIF, he can't touch it. I'm sorry. And the state had to okay it. I'm telling you, the community need to file a lawsuit against this city for what they have done. They've taken our community, used our tracks of poverty, and taken the money and put it somewhere else. I'm telling y'all, this Jim Crow stuff is really deep, and it's deeper than y'all realize. And then they make you think that you are a victim. No, you're being victimized. No, you are not poor. All these other folks are coming in here, like I told Lance, to find out what was going on with this company and that's doing the ickies down there. And y'all so happy that they're going to let a few families come back in when all the families down there used to be black. And I told them to find out who this company was and who this man was. And he was talking before I went off. Before I took a break, and I'm going to go back to him because he did find out who the man was. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live. www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook. Back on Blog Talk, y'all. You can catch up on some of our stuff. I guess we'll put last week on it because you're going to give it to Ebony so all that stuff can go back on the 2 weeks that I was off. We on Facebook, Group Facebook, blackplanet.com, www.viewing.com. Also, so let me go back to Lance because I want Lance to tell me, make sure I get him. Lance.
Yes, I'm still here, Madam Tillman.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know I gave you this assignment last week. Tell me who these people were that they bringing in to give all these millions, billions of dollars to redo the ickies from Boston. Now, what did you find out?
Yes. Now, the president and CEO of this, community builders, TCB, is a gentleman, a white gentleman by the name of Bart Mitchell. Bart Mitchell is the president and CEO of this particular 54-year-old, supposedly not-for-profit, corporation. But again, as I alluded to
they got to go to Boston to bring a not-for-profit in, hook up with somebody to build some stuff here for black folks.
It's absolutely crazy, and the thing that really made me, step back is I noticed that in the project for $38 million that's getting ready to, be launched, if it hasn't already been launched, in the West Side, some of your aldermen, I believe, Robert Fioretti.
Fioretti is not the alderman over there anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, they stood along with another alder person, I think his name Barnett Jr.
Alderman Barnett, he's over there in Ohio, over there around Cabrini. He's using them too?
They were all together with TCB, the Community Builders Association Corporation, cutting a ribbon, getting ready to start this particular $38 million project.
Well, you should have looked at the year that was done, because that's probably already been done, because Fear already been gone for a little while. So that project already been done. He's doing a new project now with Ickes.
Right. But I will tell you this, that black people should be enraged with, companies like this coming in from Boston or anywhere else when there's so many talented people in Chicagoland to do the work. I mean, white folks are getting good jobs all over as a result of these particular CDCs and corporations that they've set up. As I stated earlier, this individual, Bart Mitchell, the president and CEO, TCB, the Community Builders Association, owns 11,000 different units, owns or manages 11,000 different units scattered out throughout 14 different states. And so, again, who's getting
rich?
Not black people, it's them.
Can you tell me some of the states they're in, the communities they're in?
What? And ownership and the ownership of land, that's what it's all about.
Okay, so can you tell me some of the states they're in, Lance?
Yes, they're in, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Illinois, Ohio. And the list just goes on and on and on.
Are they they went over in these black communities where they've been gentrified and they deal with gentrification and most of these other black communities being gentrified?
Right. That's their primary focus, it appears, to go into areas where largely, black people live at, okay, and the city has taken out the resources and things of that nature. And they make us believe or make some of the black leadership believe that they could come in and help us and help the area. No, they're thinking about helping themselves.
Now, what about this man, Willie Woodley?
Willie Woodley is one of the project managers okay, to go into these particular areas because he's a black individual like you and I.
Oh, he's black.
Yes, he is.
So he works for them out of Boston. So
yes.
He goes in and shows his black face to manage this as they take over all his land.
That's exactly right. Now, their board, TCB's board, is comprised mostly, predominantly, of individuals that don't look like us, particularly Jewish individuals.
Uh-huh.
It's the same old game being played over and over and over again. And we, as blacks, we have to do something about it.
Well, like I said earlier, we're not poor. We're not poor. And we got money from folks who made money, and we also got money like this TIF district. These people are getting TIF money. This money is from blighted areas that's supposed to be built for black people. They used it. They're supposed to build it for us. And right now, Icky's was for all. That was an all-black public housing. Now, sure, they're going to let a few families come back in, but not that many. Thank you, Lance, so much. And keep listening. I really got to figure out what month in the fall that I'm going to pull a few leaders together to talk about education and economics. It won't be September. It might be October. Maybe one weekend we come together with a handful of folks to talk about that. But I'll keep you in touch, okay? Thank you, Lance. Thank you. I mean, that was some information, was it not? I'm going to see what Ron got to say. Ron, what you got to say?
Yes, good morning. I want to bring out 2 points, and then I hang up and listen to you what's going on with us in this country today. First of all, black leadership is paid off and loyal to the Democratic Party, not other black people. Mm-hmm. And my second point is Russians and Mexicans are secretly overthrowing and badly dividing this country through politics and jobs.
You said Russian, you said Russian and Mexicans?
I say Russians are taking over, influence our politics, and Mexicans are destroying our livelihoods and jobs. So this country is badly divided.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got to do a midterm voting during November to determine who wins, Russia or Mexico, not us. But thanks for hearing me.
That deep. I love black folks. I love black folks. I really do. This is really something. You know, the brother who called me earlier, and I was telling him about it, they demolished your property. That's how they put a lien on it. And somebody called and said, when they demo your property, you have to pay for the cost of the demo, right? Yes. If you don't pay for it, they put a lien on it. Most folks might not be able to afford it at that time. That's the same way if they clean your land. You got a lot, and you have some lots that you don't be cleaning, say some of your parents left y'all some lots and y'all moved down south. Y'all don't pay no attention. Y'all come by and y'all see the city people out there just cleaning y'all lots and y'all just doing. Every time they clean your lot, they add up the manpower, the hours, the equipment, how much it costs to do it, and then they'll do it for a little while till they end up letting it be all really hot, and then they foreclose on the lien. May I say again that black folks owned or in charge are sitting on top of most of the land. The next area they're now targeting is Chatham. Every time you look around, they're talking about the shooting in Chatham. Chatham is being targeted. Chesterfield is being targeted. Black folks, they're depopulating us and repopulating it, and we're sitting here. And the sad thing about it, I'm going to tell y'all something. Munoz had a plan for his war, and that's what he did. You cannot build a community if you don't put a plan together. What you want here, what you want there, how you're going to do it, how many black folks you're going to get, what you're going to do here. And you can demand it. I had a 70-30. Everybody came in and knew it was 70-30. 70% of that land that I put on hold so I could give it to black folks, they said, she owned all the land. No, 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 no. The land was put on hold to make sure that 70%, the city land, could be built by black folks and 30% others. And the other folks who was going to operate in our community had to hire 70% black. Now, that's being very generous if you consider other communities. Greektown was built with TIF money for Greeks. Puerto Rico, I'm not talking about little village, Puerto Rican, Gutierrez, Mexican, which is Jesus. Puerto Rico was built when they marked their community when we started talking about marking, they marked theirs with their red, their flags in America. They come in America and use their own flags. Then they should stay home. Okay, so they got their flag up there where they mark. They use TIF money to build for all of their Puerto Rican businesses and all that stuff. The Greeks use TIF money to build all that Greek town, all the restaurants y'all be going to over there. Jesus, Munoz, them use TIF money and stuff to build up their community. That's what they're supposed to do. Now you got Asian folks. Now I want y'all to know that when you look at over there and you see Chinatown, and you see how they expanded when they put the whole little across the street when you go south or go north, how they brought in all of the Koreans, the Japanese, they made it kind of a, they expanded what Chinatown was. So it's not just China. And they put together a TIF plan. Ben Ali Wally was the one working for the city planners during that time who put that stuff together. On there, they built and expanded. Now, you go over there now. You go down Wentworth. You will see a brand new state-of-the-art library. TIF money. A brand new state-of-the-art park with everything in it. Everybody's doing that. Now, we sit here, and our people just be glad to cut ribbon on a dentist or something. That is not right. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care about them. I don't care if they don't speak to me. Because the bottom line is when you're elected, you're elected to make sure that your community should be better off when you leave than it was when you came. But when you have people like this that Lance just got through talking about this man, he coming in. We got folks here that can do not-for-profit, and they can partner with somebody black 70% to redo that place down there. But the Alderman said the South Loop is for Bronzeville, South Loop, and Chinatown. Now, they finna give that school, the National Teacher School, because Chinese wanted a new school. There's an article in the paper about that where they said, well, we're going to redo this. Well, that school was built by Madeline Hayescock, myself, Ryan, and Daly. We came together from the city, Madeline and I, and talked to Daly and got some money. Went to Ryan and got the money to build that teacher's academy. Oh, yes, we took Williams School and made it into what we was going to do some stuff with that. And we ring the bell to bring the people there. Now, you know, I'm saying black folks have skills and black folks have ability. Black folks need opportunities. We are not victims. We are victimized, not only by the outside, but also by the inside. We're victimized politically. We're on the internal, external. We're victimized educationally, internal, externally. We're victimized with this violence. Black folks shooting up everybody. And outside, the inside, outside. So we're victimized. We're not victims. Let me go to I want to hear from Mama D. Mama D, what you got to say?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, they're tearing down black schools, but they're building up dog parks.
That's a disgrace. That's the most disgrace. That's the most disgraceful thing. Did you hear Lance when Lance was talking, Mama D?
Yeah, I heard him. But
he's from Boston.
But we have to deal with education. We've got to get the language straight. That starts with claiming who we are. The Native Americans and the Native Black Americans are twin victims of the American genocidal Holocaust. That's why when I introduced myself, my grandparents was in the chains of slavery. Therefore, I am a crimes against humanity descendant. I'm a Jim Crow genocide survivor. And
I don't know whether we survived, Mama D, the way these folks are dealing with this Jim Crow right now. This stuff is real deep, what they're doing to us. They're doing it to us so deep, and we're being victimized, and they got us making us think we're victims when we're being victimized.
No, we got to claim who we are. Why are we scared? Why are we scared to claim who we are? Everything that the Native American has in reparations, exempt status, cultural rights, we need the same thing.
Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you.
Born in America and not be citizens in the land of our birth. Only the red man and the black man, the savage and the slave. We got to stop talking about discrimination when we're talking about dehumanization. We've got to stop talking about racism when we're talking about crimes against humanity and deal with 2015 to 2020. For the decade that the United Nations have set up for us. We got to stop talking about these other black people are Haitians, but they got a land and a language, and they're on the map. We're the
only
people on the planet.
Okay, we're saying that everybody comes to this country, have currency, and they have country. Let me just kind of – they have currency, and they have country, and they have culture. The black Americans, the descendants of enslaved blacks, our currency in our country is America, but we don't want to understand it. So we let all these folks coming from everywhere. When they come in, they run into migrants. They're illegal aliens. They're not migrants. They come over here. They bring their flags and do everything. When you hear like Jesus, he's a naturalized citizen. If he's naturalized, Munoz's father, he was selling those fake IDs. And Munoz admitted in the paper the other day, when he came in, he used to be a gang. He tried to change the whole stuff. And what all the stuff he used to do, he said he was in jail for, I think, cocaine and weapons and all the other stuff. He was let go, and he ended up being an alderman. Okay, now, we are blacks, the descendants of enslaved blacks in America. We have to understand who we are instead of always jumping. That's why I said we are victimized. We're not victims, and this is a Jim Crow. Now, you understand that more than anybody. The question is, what are we going to do? Now, one time, whenever we talk about where we are going, black folks was ready. We were ready talking about repairing the damage. This man, what he does is he takes the leadership of that, and he destroys it, Mama D, so the folks shut up.
That's why we have to put the three key principles of the movement on the school calendar. They imported the Irish people over here just like they are supporting bringing over these other sanctuary settlers. They did that on purpose. And what we have to do is they are on the school calendar. We got to change the brain and change the behavior.
Oh, you got to learn. If you don't learn Spanish, you can't get no job.
But you got to
They control the language.
Spanish.
Let me tell you, they telling our children, I know somebody who was at Cook County, who's been there for the longest, should have gotten a promotion, but because she only spoke one language, she couldn't speak Spanish, she couldn't get the promotion, a Spanish person got the job.
And they get English for free, but we got to pay to get learn Spanish. That's ridiculous.
Thank you, Mama D. Hurry up.
Okay. I'll be out there resurrecting the days of respect on the school calendar. They got wearing of the green on the school calendar, and they need the three key principles of the movement, days of respect, on the school calendar. Change the brain, you change the behavior.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. I don't know how those two calls got hooked into each other, but call back, Keith. Something happened. You dropped. I don't want to. Let's see what Rob. Rob?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you, and thank you for all the work you've done for the people in Chicago and all over the world.
Thank you.
The one thing I know.
Where are you calling from, Rob? Rob, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago.
Okay.
What I would like to tell the VON audience is to get a copy of Neely Fuller's book, Neely Fuller Jr., The Compensatory Counter-Racist Code. He breaks down how the system of white supremacy is run in this country and all over the world. It has
But the question is, after we get through reading, what are we going to do here, Rob? Right now, we are in a crisis. The black community is in a crisis. As we study and we read, we're in a crisis where we got to do something about education and economics. If we don't address this crisis we're in right now, we are going to be pushed out. I tell you, they already moved on. They call it Bronzeville, but it's Grand Boulevard. They moved on Inglewood. They're moving on now, and they moved on the lake where they were shooting over there every day. Now they're moving on Chatham, and they're moving on Chesterfield. And then all over the country, they're moving on black communities. So the question is, economically and educationally, what are we going to do?